What's good, everyone? My name is Jacob Moses, community builder at Strongtowns, and welcome to It's the Little Things, a Strongtowns podcast where in each episode, we focus on a different action that you, the concerned citizen, the elected official, the city planner, can take to make your town stronger. This episode's action, deciding what to do first. At Strongtowns, you've likely read or heard us use the term strong citizen. A strong citizen is someone who gets involved in the life of their community, doing whatever they can to make their city or town stronger, one small action at a time. Brainstorming actions you can take locally, whether it's forming a group to pick up trash in your downtown once a month or creating a neighborhood association, is easy. However, deciding which action to take first and who to get involved in the process can be more challenging, and understandably, can cancel the motivation that gave you the ideas in the first place. That's why, in this episode, I chat with Jenna Jarvis, environmental engineer out of St. Louis, Strongtowns member, and winner of our Why I Joined Strongtowns contest, which we ran during our fall member drive this past fall. As a strong citizen, Jenna understands how our ideas can feel intimidating. Maybe we've done the little things well, picking up trash on our street or planting flowers throughout our neighborhood, but deciding how to move forward with the bigger ideas, the ones that require help from our peers and neighborhood associations, can be tricky. In this episode, Jenna shares her experiences navigating the ideas for making St. Louis stronger and how to decide which ones to tackle first, including how to start small, how to get your peers involved in the process, and most important, how to keep the momentum going as you plan new actions. Enjoy.
Hey there, Jenna. How are you today?
Good. How are you doing, Jacob?
Doing good. Doing good. How's life in St. Louis?
It is wonderful and cold. We have 8 inches of snow from last weekend that won't melt, but it's nice.
Oh, golly. 8 inches. Mm-hmm. I remember you were the winner, of course, of our Why I Joined Strongtowns Fall Member Drive contest, which we're going to talk about here in a little bit. And I remember your entry was you on the bicycle. Are people biking in 8 inches of snow?
Only a couple. I think I saw two people, so that was pretty inspiring.
Yeah.
I haven't biked in the snow yet, but yeah.
It's good. I have to get some big old boots for that.
Yes.
Well, Jenna, it's wonderful to be chatting with you again. I guess the last time we chatted was, like I mentioned before, the fall member drive. You submitted a success story that I had the pleasure of chatting you on the phone about. And then also, you were the winner of our Fall Member Drive Why I Joined Strongtowns contest. And listeners, if you're unfamiliar with the Fall Member Drive, twice a year, during spring and during the fall, we do a member drive where for 1 week, we really go all hands on deck to try to grow the Strongtowns movement. And part of that is throwing a little contest of giving people an opportunity to share their stories about why they joined Strongtowns. And Jenna, if I recall correctly, it was one of you on the bike talking about encouraging your friends to get on the bicycle and how that makes their town stronger, end up being the winner. So before we dive into today's action, it's a good one. We're going to be talking about deciding what to do first with all the ideas that we have. I'd love to take a moment and rewind back to the fall, Jenna, and talk about, you know, what got you into Strongtowns? Why did you join this movement?
Let's see. In college, I studied environmental engineering, and so from the beginning, I was interested in anything environmental, and I specialized in wastewater treatment. I was able to travel to Bolivia and Kenya with Engineers Without Borders also, which really opened my eyes to the way other communities work. And I specifically remember being in Tarija, Bolivia, where we were out at 9 o'clock at night having dinner at the end of a long day of working on a water tank. And there was a beautiful park with a gazebo and all of these families out, like little kids and old people and people selling jewelry and food. And you just never see that in the U.S. And it was so refreshing. You know, here, like, if you go to a mall and you're 17, you get kicked out. And, you know, it's just hard to find really good community spaces like that. And then when I moved for work in Indianapolis, that city, I thought had a lot of really great public spaces too. And I met a lot of friends playing Ultimate Frisbee, and one of them introduced me to Strong Towns Facebook page. And I just thought it was really interesting. It fell into all the categories that I'm interested in.
I love it, Jenna. And then this is a great transition into today's action, and that's deciding what to do first. You know, we discover Strong Towns, and for most of us, we're already like inclined and have that idea of, in general, wanting to make our city and towns and neighborhoods stronger. But once we start digging into Strong Towns, we get all these like concrete actions that we can take, and different success stories that we read from what our peers are doing in their own neighborhoods across the country. So Jenna, to get us started, I'd love for you to talk about some of the ideas that you ended up having once you started digging deep into Strong Towns.
Well, I read a lot of the ideas, and some of them are more big picture. You have to be almost a developer to be able to put them into action. Like, I think the whole box store versus local businesses is very intriguing, and the gull door ratio I really liked. Now we walk around and like count the doors every 100 feet, which is pretty fun to do. But as far as personal ones, like the coned bike lanes and painting crosswalks and really placemaking, like putting up lights. So those are all interesting. But for me, I was scared. Like, I don't know the rules behind all of those and what you need to do.
And I'm exactly the same way, Jenna. I mean, I'm more of like someone else maybe has a grand idea than I jump in. But of course, it's easy for us to brainstorm, but much more challenging to start. So once you start having these ideas, Jenna, how do you assess which ones to really go after?
So I assessed the ones that were basically that I could do myself first, because I'm sort of introverted. And also, like I said, with some of those ideas, I didn't know what you need permits for. Can you just go paint a crosswalk? I don't know who you need to talk to first. So so one of the actions I did was to clean up a bus stop, because trash is the easiest thing someone can do, because planting a tree sounds easy until some cities have regulations on where you can plant a tree and what type of trees you can plant. So that's a little bit more difficult.
Yeah. Did you have any run-ins with the law as you started taking these little actions, or were you all good?
I have been good so far. Yeah. Just with at least picking up trash and maybe secretly planting trees in places that no one will find.
Your own secret oasis of trees. That's the way to do it.
Well, Jenna, once listeners take that next step, you know, they do the actions that they can knock out solo, whether it's planting the plants or cleaning up the bus stop. Say they hit that next tier of ideas, and it requires a couple more folk. Maybe it's a little mural on an abandoned alley, or putting up those cones in the middle of the night to create the temporary bike lane. In your experience, who do we get involved once we start to have these ideas that require the help from our peers?
So for me, playing Ultimate Frisbee is my main kind of community group. So I reached out to the St. Louis Ultimate Association.
There's a lot of overlap in the Ultimate Frisbee community and a lot of urbanism type stuff. So I went to the St. Louis Ultimate Association. I have a lot of friends on that board, and pitched the idea to adopt a bus stop. And they discussed it at a meeting, and we're all on board. So they pretty much gave it back to me and said, yeah, you can do it. Just find some people to help you out. And we're going to try and pick a stop near one of the fields that we play on. And yeah, try and do a once a month activity, maybe build a bench or a shelter, or just clean it up, maybe plant some flowers. So yeah, hopefully, I already have a couple people interested. In the spring, we'll really try and get going. And find a stop to adopt.
Yeah, that's wonderful, Jenna. So you had this idea of adopting a bus stop. I imagine not everyone on the board for the Ultimate Frisbee folk were, of course, understood. Why would we adopt a bus stop? Why does the bus stop matter? Were you getting questions like that?
No, not really from them. A lot of them live in the city, and we all live relatively close to each other. So yeah. I think they understand the same, same Strong Towns principles. And some of them also follow the blog and the Facebook page.
Oh,
so yeah,
that's
pretty easy.
Very cool. So y'all knocked out this adopt-a-spot. You showed me some photos. It's looking super nice.
Thank you.
And I kind of fall into this personally sometimes. I want to hear if it's similar with you and your group of people making St. Louis stronger. Sometimes I'll do one action and, you know, I'll feel super good about it. Think I've done my task. And then kind of rest on those laurels for a little bit and not kind of moving with the momentum of continuing to do good actions locally. Do you have any suggestions on how listeners can stay motivated and translate these ideas that they keep on having into different actions that they can take?
Yeah, so I think that once you do get that initial group of people, that it's a little easier to stay motivated and accountable. And now that I have this group of people behind me, then we can hopefully tackle a different issue in the future once we sort of get this bus stop under control. Yeah.
Yeah. What do y'all think is going to be some of the next steps? What are y'all considering?
Some things that I've been considering, it would be a lot more difficult, but just some of the ideas I've had are looking at our other bus stops and Metrolink stations that's the light rail station around our area. And just things I've noticed and observed are that people have to walk really long distances to some bus stops that are in odd areas. And that some stations have fences all the way around them, which doesn't make sense because if you want people to use the Metrolink station or the bus stop, you need to have easier access.
Yeah.
So that might be more just kind of spreading awareness and maybe talking to, I think Citizens for Modern Transit is a big one around St. Louis that works on these types of issues. Maybe meeting up with other groups.
Very good. Is that another citizen advocacy group in St. Louis?
Yes.
Awesome. So any tips on that? You know, maybe we have an idea and we form a group around it like what you've done. Any success finding allies in other organizations? Have you had success kind of pitching that shared vision that y'all have for St. Louis?
I've had success in finding people with similar interests, but getting things to move forward has been a little bit more difficult. I also want to get U.S. Green Building Council involved because they focus a lot on environmentally friendly buildings, but to me they don't focus on how to integrate that into a city as well as just like they look at the lot itself. So that would be interesting to sort of get both of those groups together to get the transportation and the buildings all in one.
Yes, that's right. That's right. Get the big picture. I love it. Well, Jenna, we've talked about, you know, once we get these ideas for making our own town stronger, how we can either knock it out solo, if it's a big idea, pitch it to some of our friends. Let's go back even further. You know, maybe someone just read Strong Towns and they're immediately wanting to take action locally. Do you have any tips for how listeners can start to generate ideas for how they can take action in their own cities and towns?
Yes, I think my main ways of getting ideas are just walking around or taking the public transportation, or even one thing I have to do for work and I do it for enjoyment is driving through the sketchier parts of town. And you can see just the different ways that people live. And one area I was in one day, I stopped behind this car and the lady just threw a bag of trash out the window and I was shocked. But you know, some parts of town maybe need more trash cans or just more public awareness. And similar with the bus stop situation, some affluent neighborhoods have sidewalks everywhere. And then I see people in other parts of the city walking along the street for miles just to get to their destination with no sidewalks.
Wow. And you can't make those observations unless, for the most part, you're either on your foot or you're on the bicycle. I think it might have been episode 3, but I'll have to confirm. We had Alyssa Walker on the podcast, and she's the editor-in-chief over at Curbed Los Angeles. And that's what she talked about, Jenna. It's, hey, like maybe you don't have the formal planning credentials or you're not the urban designer, but there's so much value in just, you know, putting on your walking shoes, stepping out your front door and simply observing what's around you. And thinking about my own experiences, that's the best way that I've been able to generate ideas as well. It's just walking without an agenda, maybe a little notepad or a phone to take some images. But just getting out and about and letting the mind just uncensored start gathering ideas and ways you can make your own town stronger. I'm glad that worked out for you as well.
Yes. And I would say just not being afraid of anything and volunteering too. I've volunteered with some different organizations. And then you just, again, you meet different people and you get different ideas. And you just have to take that first step to get out of your bubble.
Oh, that's a great point, Jenna. Maybe we move somewhere new or a new neighborhood within the city and we're not too familiar. We've of course maybe walked around a bit. We know where the corner store is or the best place to get a burrito, but maybe not the intricacies of our city. That's interesting. Have you had experience with volunteering being a good way to kind of transition into a new town and understand kind of the nuances of where you live?
I think it was on the Strong Town Slack recently that it might have been Kia that posted that they needed people to do a bike and pedestrian count. So I volunteered to do that and sat at a new corner and got to just observe people passing by. And that was really interesting and eye-opening.
Yeah, I love that. Have you and Kia been able to connect?
Yes, we got to meet one time for lunch, and hopefully I'll see them again at one of the biking groups.
Yeah, that's awesome. We got a lot of Strong Towns folk in St. Louis. Got Kia, of course, you mentioned, our director of communications, and then Aubrey Byron. She was a guest on this podcast and also a freelance writer for Strong Towns. We're down for the St. Louis folk.
Yeah, they're both very wonderful.
I love it. Well, Jenna, thanks so much for sharing your wisdom with us. To wrap up, this is the question that we end every podcast with. How does this particular action, deciding what to do first, make our cities and towns stronger?
Because I think being brave and doing that first little step can inspire others. If they see you picking up trash, or if your friends hear that you're biking around, it just starts spreading, and then it can make the whole town a better place.
I love it, Jenna. And just starting with, you know, that, like what we say at Strong Towns all the time, like the next incremental step. I know it's, and I fall into this trap too whenever I have an idea. Like, I want to go big, like before I even think about an action to take. I'm thinking of like what to call the Facebook page, you know? rewind a bit and just be like, hey, like what's the one thing I can do today? And then hopefully build a tribe around that. That's wonderful, Jenna.
Thank you.
Love it. Well, Jenna, thank you so much again. If anyone wants to connect with you online, learn more about you and the great work that you're doing in St. Louis, whether it's doing actions locally or throwing the ultimate frisbee, where can people connect with you?
I think the best way would be on Instagram. You can follow me at JennaJarvs10 and help keep me accountable. I'll post random bike trips and other things I see around the city. And if people have other ideas, I'd love to hear them.
I love it. And you can see Jenna's contest winning Instagram post about why she joined Strong Towns. Love it.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
Thank you, Jenna. We will chat very soon.
Thanks, Jacob.
Bye, Jenna.
Thanks so much for listening, everyone. If you're enjoying the content, please subscribe to It's the Little Things on iTunes, and we will chat next week. See ya.